this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, pastor, elder.
Good evening, and I trust that you're a bit hungry spiritually. Well, I want to kind of put a little closure on this passage that our Lord Jesus gave concerning lust. And I want to look at the second part about healing. So I selected some hymns that have to do with the thought of being healed, and the first one is Jesus, Lover of My Soul. It's the second tune. Let's sing 427.
With the shame.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now we just sang a hymn that covers all that problem. Plenteous grace, heal me. And it says here also in that hymn that I'm full, false and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Let the healing streams abound. Make me pure within. That's a good hymn for the subject tonight. Let's go to another hymn. Let's go to Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 501. Our Father, we count it a privilege, a blessing that we can enter into the throne of grace and mercy because of the precious work of our Lord Jesus at Calvary. Oh, that veil was rent in two, and now it's open to us. Hear us, we pray, as we really don't know what we need to pray for, but we do know that we need help. And so may your blessed comfort come to us tonight, and or also, Father, perhaps conviction that's necessary to see that we need to call out about our sins and trust the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God to help us. The subject tonight, our Father, you made it pretty clear that it's an area that if we don't take care of, that we might go to hell. And so we pray tonight that we might give some thought to this whole subject, have some seriousness, and that we might have your blessing upon us and your healing. In the name of Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Yes, please be seated. It's Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. A subject that I must admit that's not just the easiest to preach on because, first of all, if you have the idea that the preacher has complete victory on these matters, I've got news for you. The old nature's still around, but there is this great possibility that we don't need to sin. And not that we'll be sinless, but we don't need to sin. Sin has, if we know Christ our Savior, has no longer dominion over us. But that doesn't mean we're sinless, and in the sense that we don't have any problems. Here we are in this matter of about this cure for lust. I want to review just quickly part one, and that is we talked about the Lord Jesus spoke frequently about sex, and he created it and thought it was good. And so if any time you think that it's marriage is wrong, or you have an idea to have children and enjoy a sexual relationship with one spouse is sinful, you got to learn some things from the Bible. And we believe in chastity before marriage, and we believe in fidelity after marriage. That's the way the Bible teaches us, and that's the way we're supposed to look at it. And so we read Hebrews 13 that the Lord Jesus said that marriage is honorable. And he said, I'll tell you something, adulterers, God's going to judge. And adultery is here the matter of looking upon a woman to lust after her. That's adultery. And there's also the literal aspect of it. Our culture, don't make too big a deal about it. Although I'm hearing and reading in the mail or in the news, a senator got caught with an affair just recently, Senator Ensign. And they bring it up in the news about these affairs. It's still mentioned, but he's going to keep his job. Yep, it's no big deal. And so we don't get too excited and upset. Everybody's doing it. And so don't get worried about it. Don't get huffy and puffy about it. It's okay. But the interpretation here, the Lord is saying, you know, in the old days, they had interpretation about the commandment. The scribes and the Pharisees from Exodus 24:14, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said the scribes and the Pharisees, they had an interpretation of that commandment. That is the seventh commandment. They said, well, listen, what that really means, that you're not allowed to have sex with someone of your own group like the Israelites of Jews. But it's okay to have with slaves and a Gentile. It's okay if you have adultery with them. That's the scribes and the Pharisees. The Lord Jesus said, no, hey, wait a minute. You've heard that, haven't you? Verse 27, that of old times that thou shalt not commit adultery? Yes. And the interpretation of it? Yes. But I say to you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already. And this radical, drastic statement he makes, that is so serious, I say unto you that if thy right eye, I'm at verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. See, boy, that is really radical. He said, listen, whatever needs to be done about this business of lusting, no matter what the price is, it has to be dealt with. Just don't say, well, hey, it isn't all that bad. Nobody knows what's in my heart on these matters. He said, we do know what's in the heart. God knows our hearts. And then we were talked about this interpretation today, the new morality. We talked about the matter of situation ethics. Hey, it's all right. If there's some things about it, it's all right to kill, to murder. It's all right to lie. There's situation ethics. There are times it's all right to lie. And we also mentioned that sodomy is okay if love's involved. And homosexuality and all these things, they say it's okay if the situation is perhaps with love involved. Now, it is all subjective. This is the way I feel about it. Yeah, do you have any principles? Where do you get your principles? I don't know, but this is the way I feel about it. Where did you get your ideas about some of the things? Well, I don't know, I took sex education in school, and I watch the TV, and this is how I feel about it. It's okay. And it's getting more and more that way. And so we're saying here that to this matter of adultery is that it's not just to the external, but it has to do with the matter of spiritual adultery. And I tried to explain that if you look at a person intently And in that intent look, it just didn't say, oh, there's a pretty woman, there's a pretty handsome man. You say, oh, yeah. But if you look intently, and first of all, you find yourself mentally undressing or whatever, you have been guilty of adultery. And the Lord Jesus said, it's a serious matter. Don't listen to culture on this thing. And I said to you, is it possible to be sitting here to hear the preacher of God, preaching the Word of God, and having ungodly, immoral thoughts? So it's a dangerous thing. And so the Lord Jesus said about this occasion one time, this woman was caught in the act. And they brought her to him and said, you know what we're supposed to do. And he said, stoop down and throw it in the sand, something. And then he said, any of you, he said, let him throw the first stone. And they did not, because they were guilty. Well, I mentioned the danger, I mentioned the cure. And I want to tell you that there's some false cures out there. And you can say, well, I'm just going to go up in the woods and stay there. I won't even go down to town. I'll just be kind of an asceticist back in the woods. Or maybe I'll have a doctor perform an operation on me so I don't have these thoughts. Or maybe I'll do what the Lord said here. I'll pluck my eyes out. That's not the answer. You can have your eyes plucked out and still have imaginations. That's the way we are. I want to tell you, sitting there and standing here, you may think that you don't have any problem. You've been raised the right way. Thank God for that. But you don't know your heart. If you sit there and say, all is well with me, I'm a sophisticated person, no problem about this preacher. Don't lie to yourself. The old nature that we got from Adam is still there. And I'm saying to you that in Christ is an answer. Now, sir, it is Christ is the answer. It's not all these other things. A new nature. And that is knowing that Jesus Christ came as God in the flesh and proved him as God on here as he walked on the earth, and that he on the cross took our punishment, took our sins, took our hell, and he was buried and he rose again victoriously, sits at the right hand, ascended and sits at the right hand of God. The Father says, now turn from your sins. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Born again experience. That'll set you free. No longer should it have a dominion over you. And yet it can happen that you'll fall. And when you fall, you acknowledge it, that you've sinned, and get up, confess it, and go on until you get perfect. And so that's the way the battle is. Now, the wonderful thing about it is he gives us his Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest. And he resides in these bodies. And he helps us to fight this war. What war? This war of lust that comes upon us. We have the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God. And so we're not orphans here. We are children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I want to make a few other comments. And that is, I want to talk about how to escape this trap. But before I do that, I just had this presented to me in such a way that I'm going to talk about it a little bit. The world says this is Father's Day, this is the Lord's Day, but we observe Father's Day. Okay, fine. And what's that have to do with it? Well, I want to say this. I've been observing a grandson and a great-grandson and the mother. And I'm just pleased. I'm pleased because I think they're going the right route. And I want to commend them. They're being a faithful father. The matter of, and that's to be held with high esteem. Now, some of us can kind of get down like this because we were so busy. We were so busy and we had a spirit behind us. It's the little woman to take care of the children. I'm out here making the dough. But, oh, fellas, a faithful father spending time with his children. I have a few figures here that might spark you a little bit. And that is, internationally, there's a significant number of fathers who have abandoned their children. You say, well, that's not new, but it's serious. The figures like 80 to 90% of the youth that are now in prisons and who are in psychiatric hospitals were youth that did not have a father. Attention. 80 to 90%. Dear brother, would you turn that on for us, please? Thank you. You say, well, that's pretty high. Yeah, it's high. And 70% of them are those that are teenagers or pregnant. 70% of them said they didn't have a father figure. And youth suicides is in that same percentage, around 70% of suicides didn't have a father figure. You say, well, so it's very, very important. And what do they know about fathers? Well, they didn't have one. Well, they had a biological father. Yeah, I don't deny that. That is not the point. But I mean, a father to care and be there and take care of him and spend time with him, he just didn't have it. And a loss of fatherhood. It's a very serious thing. Where have all the real men gone? Isn't there a hymn? Isn't there a song like that? Where have all the young men gone? Where have all the fathers gone? They've gone because they're doing their thing. But your thing is to be a faithful father. Masculinity, where's that gone? Well, it's not something that we're saying too much about, except maybe example of Chuck Norris or so. But young fellows that are ashamed. They need to learn who they are and what they are. How are they gonna learn it? Through mom? Thank God for moms, but they can't be fathers. And so young fellows that are going out there, they don't know what a father example is, and they're into violences, gangs, killing. And not only that, in sexual prowess. They brag about how many number of women they've scored with. This is great. This is not what it should be. Are you concerned about your country? Your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, are you concerned? You know, the Bible speaks about fathers, our Heavenly Father. Well, it looks to me that we're to be like mentors, and we're to set the example so that people can associate with the Heavenly Father by our examples. Well, like what? Well, for example, if we run off from our families, like the 90% of the fathers run off and abandoned them, so the children said, my father, he left us. Mother had to do everything. They're not too interested in a father. Don't get them to pray Heavenly Father, because their example of a father was one who left them. God's not interested in me. Our example is important as fathers. There is also a matter of, well, time. Fathers to spend time with their children. Oh, I know we have to have relaxation. We have to have our sports. We have to have our business. And we have to work hard, make a lot of money. But the Bible says we're to spend time with our children. God doesn't have time for me. My dad didn't have any time for me. God is not. He's a father. He's not time. Why should I pray Heavenly Father? My father didn't have any time for me. God's not. He's not interested in being in me. It's a waste of time. And if a father doesn't provide, what's the use talking to a Heavenly Father? A matter of food and shelter, so God doesn't really care how things go. And if the father is always demanding, hey, you kids, straighten up or I'll do this to you. If you're always demanding, work like a drill sergeant with your kids. There are fathers like that. Get out of here. Yeah, come here. Well, if that's an example of what a father is, they don't want to talk about a heavenly father and pray to such a father. We set the example. We're called fathers. How have we done? If there's no discipline, say, boys will be boys. Don't worry about it, preacher. Boys will be boys. They have to learn the hard way. I'm never really strict about discipline. Let them do kind of what they want to do. You'll say, well, God must also be a marshmallow like my old man. Yep. You say, that's disrespectful. Hey, don't be surprised. I've been in places where the children said about the old man. My old man. Was he a good example of a father? When the kids talk about you like the old man, the old lady? If the dad's always angry, come home he's angry, complains, and that's the example he sets before his family. What do you think they think about our God? He said, God's always angry, always demanding something. Why should I talk to a God like that? And if a father's not interested in biblical truths, say, what? Church? Ah, that's for sissies. You don't need any truth like that. Biblical truth is not important. So when the time comes, they say, well, it's just God's not interested in truth. I tell you, dads, some of us old guys, we can look back and we can cry. Some of you young fellas, if that's the kind of picture that this generation is getting, you better ask the Lord to help you. What kind of demonstration did you leave with your children, or are you making with your children? Is it a real picture of God, or is it a twisted picture of what God is by our actions? Now I want to say this to you. I'm not going to give you the name. But we had a young man here some time ago. I'm not even going to tell you how long ago, but he was here. He sat back there, wife and a couple of children. I heard last week, he's down in Kentucky somewhere, Tennessee, and he's being treated for pornography addiction. Are you surprised? Nice chap. One out of every 10 men have a tremendous problem with pornography. We don't have quite 10 fellows here tonight. There's an entrapment. There's a whole lot of entrapments. And some folk, they just can't understand this. The matter of pornography, that's a word from the Greek, has to do, porno means a whore, and pornography means writings of a whore. That's what pornography is, or pictures of a whore. It's too bad some of you adults don't say, as I did. I said, listen, most of that stuff that is pornography at the high school that you read, that's written by men who are twisted and perverted. It's not written by women for the most part. And not only that, they can take, if you're knowing about photography, some of you do, that you can take an airbrush. And there's a lady that's got blemishes and so forth, but you take this airbrush and you can take out those blemishes and make her look like she's the world's greatest thing. And then perhaps your wife has some blemishes of some sort and you say, man, wouldn't it be something if I had a woman like that? Or a man like that? But you didn't know that it was an airbrush blemished out all took all the blemishes out. You think that's the way a woman ought to be. No blemishes. Sure. You say, well, I've heard of an alcoholic addiction. I have too. I've heard of even people having a food addiction. I have too. I've heard of people that go crazy over sports and they're addicted. I have heard too. I've heard of guys that go crazy about making money. They got such an addiction about money, that's all they think about. And they want to be big shots and be success. That's their big thing in life. Addicted to it. Nothing else counts. Kids don't count. Nothing else. And there's all kinds of things to get hooked on. And pornography is a really easy one. Listen, ladies, don't sit there just like it doesn't affect you. They also have modern statistics about the ladies. And they're also on this pornography thing. Not to quite the same way. They have what they call chick flicks, just movies that are just designed for women, and hunk magazines, and romance magazines, and so forth, and all these things. And women are into it, and they have on the internet, the women are on the internet, the chat rooms. Women, girls that are sending pictures of themselves naked by way of the little cell phones or whatever they are. You say, well, this is awful. Why do I have to hear this? I'm only saying to you, just in case you think, hey, there's no big deal. The church doesn't have any problems with it. There's a book out called The Pornography Trap. It was written for preachers. You can get it through Amazon. I don't have it. A book written for preachers concerning the pornography trap to help them. I like John 8. You want encouragement? All that is so dark and dismal, and it is so terrible. I don't want to even hear any more of it, you say. But look, let me give you something that's encouraging. Our blessed Lord Jesus said this in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, John 8, verse 34. I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and that word servant could be translated slave. Mm-hmm. If you commit sin, you're a slave, a servant of sin. Say, boy, that's not very encouraging. Yeah, but the answer is Christ. That when we get rid of that sin, by our being born from above, having the Spirit of God to help us, and we're to get rid of the sin, that if we don't, the Lord Jesus said, you'll end up in hell. Now, our brother Rook, he called and he said, I made a statement about the book of Job, and I said, yeah. He said, I'm not quite finished. He said, I'm finding some passages that I want to preach on. And I thought to myself, brother, it'd be great if you'd preach on Job chapter 31, for this generation is, you say what? This generation is having problems. Chapter Job 31 and verse 1. What is it? Job, he said in verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. You did what? I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? That is to think, the idea is to intently, whether it's by imagination or by visualization, he said, I made a covenant, I'm not going to do that. Now that's way back. And the Bible teaches such things. You can say, eyes, I'm going to cash out at this store and I know those tabloids. I know that there are places that it'd be better if I didn't hesitate, make a covenant with my eyes, and say, I'm not going to intently look upon that situation. Job, how many years ago, didn't have the New Testament, As far as the Spirit of God came upon them, yes, but not like He resides in us today. As our teacher, our comfort. And Job said, I made a covenant in my eyes. I will not look upon a maiden. It goes for you ladies too. And then 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Some help? Are you talking real cures, or are you just talking things that really don't amount to too much? I think it's very serious. 1 Corinthians 6. By the way, I probably ought to read this. How are we doing for time? I think I have some time. This chapter of 1 Corinthians, you know, they had problems. They had a lot of problems. You know, well, I'm going to read it. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to start here. What do you want to go there? I want to show you that there's areas here that we should stay away from. Make a covenant with your eyes and with your heart. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I heard something about that. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty plain. You don't need to have somebody preach on that to you. You can read that for yourself. And such were some of you, and this is grateful, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God for that. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know Jesus Christ. He's delivered us from the dominion, the slavery of sin. Wow. That's great. All right, verse 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God should destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord for the body. And God will both raise up and God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. I haven't done that. Now wait a minute. What did the Lord say about looking upon? Pornography, for instance. Yes, you have. Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore I glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, chapter 7, I'm not stopping. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That's a soft way of saying stay away from immorality. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud. Don't deceive. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that the Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. And I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide as even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And on to the married. I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife, that is, divorce her. But to the rest, speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. I think I'll stop there, but that chapter goes on and on with some wonderful things. Now, so if verse 18 of this sixth chapter says that we're to flee, got any idea what that word flee means? Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his body. To flee. To flee what? Well, to flee these things that you know will cause you and cause your mind and your heart to sin. TV channels? There are channels. The intent purpose is you to sin. There are. These packages that you can get. It's true. I mentioned to you about video rentals. I mentioned to you about internet chat rooms. I mentioned to you about stores that have this stuff. It says flee. That's a four-letter word in case you didn't know it. Flee. Give me an example of that, please. Oh, Joseph, back in Genesis and chapter 39 and verse 12, Joseph. What about Joseph? Well, you know the story about Joseph. And Potiphar's wife tempted him daily. And how did he get out of that mess? He ran out of the house to get away from her. He fled. Flee. Mm-hmm. Now, in Judges, we have another character in the 16th chapter in verse 9. His name is Samson. Now, Samson, you know, there's a real hunk. He is really something, and he, according to the first verse, he liked this harlot. And he committed sin with her, a prostitute. And the scripture says that he actually fell into her lap and into a trap. I was going to bring a mouse trap. I think they're clever. The guy invented the mouse trap did. But some people don't understand. You know, here's the trap. There's some food in the mouse room. Bam! You see what's so wonderful about that? There are all kinds of entrapments. And some people are don't think things through. Hey, I'm a gray-haired old man. Why do I worry about anything? And you can get entrapped too. That Matthew 5 and that radical, oh my word, Lord, that's so radical, chapter 5, those last two verses. And you read that and you say, Lord, I can't understand all that. That sounds like you really are demanding that we have a radical action. It may cost us something. Do it. Flee. Not asking you to do that literally, but he's asking you, hey, you may have to just put it in gear and say, well, if I do that, I'll lose my job or something. Get out of it. A definite action. Get out. The fact of the matter is, I'd like to really tell you, God has given us as Christians a killer instinct. And you know that kind of lead to conscientious objection. I don't think Christians ought to be killing. But anyway, that be as it is, a killer instinct. Go to Colossians again, please. You said, well, we weren't there not too long ago. What do you want to bring it up again? Oh, that's the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3. You mean Christians aren't have a killer instinct? And, hey, we're not talking about people killing people. Please get that in your straight. I'm not going to talk about killing people. I think that that's another area. But the Bible speaks about killing in another sense. In Colossians, and I start at verse 5 of the third chapter, where we read this, mortify. You know what a mortician is? He has to do with death. The undertaker, funeral director, kill death. Put to death. What? Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. You're on the earth? What? Fornication? Uncleanness? Inordinate affection? Evil concupiscence? Covetousness, which is idolatry? For which things sake the wrath of God? Oh, this is just preacher just trying to get us scared about things. No, this is the Word of God. It says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. This is encouraging. But now ye also put off all these things, along with those other things, ye put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Man, that's marvelous. Wonderful, Lord. Supposed to kill these things. Because God's wrath is coming. Oh, I don't take it too seriously. God's wrath says is coming upon these things. And if you're a child of God and you're having problems with it, you're supposed to get serious. It may be a costly thing. You may have to put away some things and do some things differently. The Lord doesn't like a compromiser. Be serious. Ask the Lord to help you. If you have the Spirit of God and you've been born again, you've been born from above, and you have the Spirit of God, brethren, we can take a look at these things and say, how well... Yes, it says it's over and over again. He said, you know, you used to do these things, but there's been a change. What a wonderful change when Jesus came into my heart. It's there. There's power. There's a power of the Spirit of God. You know, let me just give a few thoughts. We talk about idleness. It's the tool of the devil, idleness. Say, well, that's true. How true is it? Well, it tells in 2 Samuel about David, chapter 11. What about King David? Well, it was a time of year he should have been out there fighting the enemy, and he decided to send the men out there, and he's going to just take it easy. And the Bible tells us there in 2 Samuel 11 that he didn't sleep too well because he got too much time on his hand. He got up and walked around to get some fresh air and looks over and he sees this woman. He said, wow, she's taking a bath. And she was beautiful. So what did he do with his extra time? Get busy. He said, who is she? And she's nice. And as king, he said, I want her. And he arranged for her to come. And she was at the time, the Bible says very clearly, a time of her fertility. He committed adultery. And problem after problem after problem. That's the way of sin. It just piles up on and on. Be busy. Keep busy. But get busy in godly activities. Oh, I know you can play golf and you can do this and you can do that. You're a busy man. But get busy in godly things if you're a Christian. You say, my body belongs to the Lord. That's right. And the whole business of you is His. Give some time to the Lord. Go to work. Come home. Arrange to do some reading the Bible and praying with your family also. You're not being real, preacher. Why am I not being real? Listen to some CDs. That wouldn't hurt you at all. You read the newspaper and listen to the news on TV, and a lot of it's not real. The Word of God is real. Make sure you get the church. Make sure the church is preaching the Word of God. Something there to help you. Not just an educational system, 101 kind of teaching theory of some sort, but let's get down to things even like this. It's important. And then I want to say this. If you don't keep busy, the devil, he'll make sure you'll be seduced. He'll lay some traps for you and for me. You see, I'm smart. I won't get in any traps. Huh. You'll find out how smart you are. He's been around a long time. Let me say this. The Bible talks about that we should live godly and dress modestly. You say, well, that's talking to women. Yeah, but it applies to men too. That's the wonderfulness of the Scripture. But dear ladies, you see, you're not a masculine. You're not a male. You say, well, the men are just like us. No, we're not. Well, I know psychologically and sociologically they say there's a difference. There's a difference more than just physiological. We're different. And we're tuned up, and I do believe this, that vision is a big thing for some of us, the men. And you know right well, ladies, if you dress in modesty, you will get looks. And the more immodest you are, there'll be guys that'll just grope you and keep looking at you like this. Maybe you like that, that the men are watching me. Maybe you think that's all right for a Christian to even do that, when the Bible says don't do it. Dress modestly. Now, when you dress modestly, it's nice because men can talk to you and not be fearful that your eyes might drop a certain way and they say, look at that dirty old man. But if you dress modestly, we appreciate it. No! Men want to see those tight shorts. Men want to see those everything naked as they can. That's what men want. Why stand up here and lie to us, preacher? Listen, I'm saying this. The Word of God says that if Christ comes into our lives, He gives us a new spirit. We've been born from above. We have the help of the Spirit of God. And we want women to obey the Word of God. And it says, be godly women and dress modestly. Now, I know. I've been around. I had home. I had girls at home. And I've been married 52 years. And I know a little bit about women. I'm telling you. You're going to have to give an account. And we men, we aren't so dumb either. We'll dress in a way so that those muscles will show. Yes, sir. We're really something, aren't we? Our tight jeans. I may be old-fashioned, but I think such places like, and ladies, you disagree with me, go ahead, I don't care. You go to the shore, and you take your families there, and you take your children there. We're all going to the shore. Preacher, there's nothing wrong going to the shore. You don't think so, huh? What's the Bible say about immodesty? Huh? Don't argue with me. Is that what your kids want? You say, I don't know what ever happened. I think mixed bathing is wrong. Well, that's your opinion. I think I can basically substantiate it from the Word of God. You see where your scripture is. You prove me wrong. Well, maybe it's even wrong now for men to swim together. I don't know. It's crazy. That's awful. Man. I think that's enough. But I will say this. There's this matter of denying oneself. And that is, denying oneself. That word means no. It's spelled N-O. No. Deny thyself. No, I will not. I'd like to just go a little further. We live in a day where we're all taught, hey, you want it, buy it. Just go ahead and buy it. Put it on a credit card. What's this have to do with? I'll tell you what it has to do. You get that credit card really stacked up, and it's going to work you over. It's going to mess your married life up. You'll be fretting and worrying about it, and you'd say, no, you don't need that. I was telling a car salesman that was here, and I said, well, one of these days I think I probably get another car. And I said, if you get a teddy bear, I'd like to hear about it. And he said, I'll look for one. But he said to me, hey, listen, as long as that vehicle will take you from where you are to where you want to go and bring you back, this car salesman makes a living by selling cars. He said, that's all you really need. But if you want to keep up with the Joneses and be spiffy, and get yourself into all kind of financial difficulties, it'll be an entrapment, and you'll be thinking more about these matters, and the wife, she's not as nice as all those you can see in the magazines. Say no. You know, what you are is not determine of what you have. Life does not consist in an abundance of things that a man that possesses. Oh, let me show I'm successful. Life does not consist in an abundance of things that a man possesses. That doesn't determine who you are. I would say to your friends, the passage you say, come on, tell me what the cure is. What's the cure? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, it is fix your eyes upon Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and to know Him that in an intimate way of talking to Him. I'll even say this with the possibility of being misunderstood is to love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to fall in love with Christ. Fellas, yeah, to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ in the proper way. It comes by a new birth and by the help of the Spirit of God. If you fall, confess that it was wrong, get up and get going. And that's what we may have to do. The Lord will help us. The Lord forgive us. I'd like us to sing a hymn, one that perhaps you would expect to sing at a time like this, and is asking the Lord, Lord, have your own way. It's 574, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It's a good hymn to sing in light of the sin that so easily besets us. 574.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way.
sing that last stanza again without the accompaniment.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only.
Now, our Father, we've looked at some passages. We've looked at this matter of lust. We've used the interpretation of Lord Jesus, and we ask that you help us. Now, our Father, it's just so good that you enable us. And if we apply ourselves diligently as children and all are obedient, that we have the promises of God to help us. And so now I ask, as a benediction, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, unto the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.